chapter 7. Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. Now that I've quit rambling. You remember we went through the first part of chapter 7 of the book of Jeremiah last week. And what we look at when we enter into the passage of Scripture which we're about to talk about is in verse 29. Great sin brings great judgment. And the passage of Scripture which we're about to look at, I'm kind of glad Ava went back there with them tonight. It's a rough passage of Scripture. It gets pretty pointed. It's one that doesn't talk much about the grace of God. As far as the grace of God in this passage of Scripture, it's not there. It's talking about judgment and condemnation. And it talks about the sin and the type of sin, and it talks about how, because of that sin, God is going to judge. Notice what the Word of God says in verse 29. And we left off with that verse last week. It said, "Cut off your hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away." Now, back in that day, they didn't, they were Nazarite, they weren't supposed to cut their hair off. But if there was sin and there was lamentation and there was mourning over sin, they were to cut their hair. So God commanded, "Cut off your hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places." In other words, start crying and start weeping in the high places, for the Lord's rejected and forsaken the generation of His wrath. God has forsaken. Now, if we had any inkling that God had forsaken us, you know what? We ought to pour out great lamentation. We ought to cry. And even so, when you think about it, because of people's sins, that ought to bring a little bit of mourning also in our prayers. When was the last time in your prayer life you actually cried? You shed tears. Here, the Word of God explains why in verse 30. Verse 30 says, "For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it." Now that word abominations means detestable things. What the children of Judah had done, they had gone to the temple of God and they had set up false images in the temple. They had set up idols in the temple. Now, this is a serious thing, because they were to worship only the Lord their God. In their eyes, what they're saying is, God is not enough, we need more. Therefore, they were choosing other gods to go with God. Oftentimes reminds me, when I read something like this, it reminds me of Hinduism. You think what Hindus do, they add a new god just about every day, you know, making up another god and add another god. And the reason is because the gods they serve are not good enough. Therefore, they're up in the millions of gods, because none of the gods that they have can supply all their needs. Well, here, just like the verse of Scripture I just quoted over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, or should I say, misquoted and then requoted, right? "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." You know, our God can supply our needs, every one of our needs, and you know what He does. But here, Judah knew the Lord, but they turned their back on God, and they started worshiping all kinds of images that they set up in the temple. Now, let's put this in modern day times. Can you imagine if I put a Buddha up in here on the front table instead of this candle? If I had a big fat Buddha with a big fat belly sitting up here on this table, y'all wouldn't even probably come to church here, would you? I mean, that's just, you know, that's sacrilege. That's just, something's wrong there. We got a serious problem. Or can you imagine? I think somebody had visited an apartment or something, and they had a Hindu shrine. Who was that? Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine having that pretty shrine, like, parked over here or something? You know, and that's the same That's what the children of Judah were doing. They had false images that they worshipped in the temple of God, where God says in verse 30, which is called by my name. In other words, they were polluting the temple. Now, you know what? If there was a Hindu shrine in here, and if we had visitors, they probably, you know, they would turn around and walk out. Because it's sending a double message. It's saying that you're not really trusting the God whom you say you're trusting. But that's not the worst of it, because the Word of God goes on to describe what they were doing. It says in verse 31, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Hear what he's saying here. They were actually, and we have mentioned this time and again, as we've gone through Old Testament books of the Bible, we have talked about how they have offered up their children as sacrifices. The word Tophet means a place of fire. Or it can mean an oven. Or it can mean a fireplace. That's what the word Tophet means. And this history as far as offering up children as sacrifices goes way back in the Old Testament. You can find it commanded against in the book of Leviticus. And so this type of worship dates way back. I knew it would be too good to be true. They would enter in and start falling. But this type of offering children as sacrifices dates way back in Eastern religion. They were told in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21 not to offer your children unto Molech, not to offer them up to the Ammonite god Molech. And so in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 10, what you find, King Josiah was a goodly king. And what he did away with that type of children's sacrificing. But just as soon as Josiah had done away with that, he turned that place into a garbage dump. And when Josiah died, just as soon as he died, they revived that practice once again. What they would do, they would offer, can you imagine, a child as a burnt offering. Can you imagine the screams of a little child as they put their child, and no doubt they loved their child, but they thought they were doing God some great service by burning their child. This is what the place of Tophet was. It was called the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. Hinnom, no doubt, was a group of men that had that valley at one time, that had done heroic deeds. And it was the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. And they built this place up as a worship place. It was a place of continual burning. Now you think about it, how could one sacrifice their child? We've heard of stories in the news of women that have killed their children brutally. We've read of stories, heard of stories like that. You know what? They are in some type of state of delusion where the God of this world, I believe, has blinded their minds. And maybe they have taken even the Word of God and twisted it. You know what? A lot of people do that today. Maybe they took the illustration of where God commanded Abraham to offer up Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. And maybe they've twisted that, and some of these priests that offered up sacrifices to Molech, maybe they infiltrated Judah and they taught from God's Word and twisted the Scripture and made it say not what God meant it to say. They think they're honoring God. Let me tell you, false gods will always destroy. They had a zeal without knowledge. They didn't hear. So there was willful ignorance. But notice what God says. I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. In other words, I believe they were using God's word and twisting it to build up some false doctrine to get people to offer their children as sacrifices. Give your firstborn. The firstborn belongs unto the Lord. Now, you know what you think in our society? Nothing like that would ever happen, would it? But you know what? There's something very similar in our society that's going on just the same. And that's abortion. Did you know abortion is just like this? You think parents would not kill their children? They wouldn't willfully kill them, would they? Look at the abortion clinics now. Young women go in there, and they are killing their children. And if you think of the procedure, how it's done, if you were to read it online, you'd be grossed out. But I want to know, why is the reasoning behind of a parent killing an innocent baby? It's often from the political arena. It's freedom of choice. I got my choice. I got my rights. And it's all self-centeredness. And therefore, the reason abortion happens is because people are self-centered and they want to serve themselves and they don't want a baby to interfere with their life. They want to keep on doing their drugs or having their freedom or being able to party or having their time. And it's all because of convenience. You see, abortion is very similar to how the Israelites were offering up their children as sacrifice. I've heard one person who's had an abortion say, God wants me to be happy. Now, you know what? They think they have their freedom, and they think that killing a baby is going to keep them free, but that's just going to put them in further bondage. Guilt later on in life, turmoil, emotional issues that follow with that, they just are compounded. Those who believe in abortion. You know what? If you were to see someone that had an abortion, you wouldn't be able to tell them. They look just like you and me. If you were to talk to somebody who believes in abortion, if you didn't talk about politics and talk about abortion, you could have a normal conversation just like you and I have. They don't look any different or act any different, but the problem is they're sinners in need of a Savior. And you know what? It's a spiritual problem for people who believe in abortion. It's a spiritual problem back in the days of Judah when they're offering their kids as a sacrifice. And it's the same spiritual problem in our day and time. Listen to what the Word of God says over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, a very familiar verse of Scripture, down in verse 28. The Word of God says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." A reprobate mind is a mind void of judgment. To do those things which are not convenient. Now, you know what? I know that's talking about homosexuality, but you know what? That comes into play in our society also. Just like we discussed briefly with the mayor down in Houston about subpoenaing the sermons. You know what? Our nation's in a lot of problems. And if you think we can kill millions of babies and God just pass over and not look at it, we're wrong. You think about the homosexuality that's becoming more prevalent. And if we say something against it, we're not tolerant. And you hear of people who have to take tolerance classes. Is it any surprise that Ebola is coming into the United States? Is it any surprise that a woman got beheaded in Oklahoma? You know what? Do you think it might be more severe than that? You know what? This I'll say, and I believe I'm not stepping out on a limb by saying this. unless our nation repents and we turn toward God, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get a lot worse. And that's what Jeremiah is consistently warning in this sermon. You know, I don't know how many people have been admitted to the hospital concerning the Ebola. They're saying two patients, I believe. They're saying the first nurse, they are checking out her boyfriend because he might have it now. And then they're thinking about all the flights and all the passengers that that woman was on, the second nurse, and how many other hundreds that might affect. And that's just our neighbor state up there with Ohio, isn't it? You think about it. We don't know how easily that's spread and how easily it's not spread. But this one thing I do know, God's going to judge the United States of America for her sins unless we repent and turn from the wickedness. Because the Word of God states death comes because of sin. Look in verse 32. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no more place. God says it's not going to be known by this name anymore. It's going to be known by the name the valley of slaughter. You remember what God warned Adam about? In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Sin brings forth death. Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death. If you were to go over to James chapter 1, verse 15, it talks about lust brings forth sin, and sin, when it's brought to its fruition, brings forth death. Even so, notice how death is brought forth because of the sins of the people. Offering up children as sacrifice. God says it's not going to be a place of sacrifice anymore. It's going to become a graveyard. It's going to become a burial ground. The place where you worship is going to be the place where your cemetery is. Wow, this is... wow. And verse 32, in the latter part there, it says, they're going to bury in Tophet till there be no more place. In other words, that valley of Tophet is going to be so full of bodies that there's not going to be any other place to bury those bodies. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven. Why is that? Because there's no other place to bury them. Therefore, the birds are going to start eating the dead carcasses of people, and the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Wow, this is a gruesome sight. This happened when Babylon come in. Then will I cause decease from the cities of Judah, from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. God's going to make it desolate. I was reading a news article just yesterday. I saved it on my computer, and if your computer's like my computer, it does upgrades or something. Cut your computer off, cuts back on you, all that kind of stuff. Well, it cut my little note off that I had wrote for tonight, and it was something about this. I'm going to have to guess at it a little bit, but it was a news article, and it says that the marriage rate has declined so vastly like never before in history. Young people are scared to get married because the economy is one of the reasons. There are people shacking up. There's all kinds of reason. But notice how marriage is going down. Even like right now, and what God says back in chapter 7, the last verse. It talks about He's going to cause no more mirth or gladness for the voice of the bridegroom or the bride. There's not going to be any more weddings. But you think about it, one of the reasons here is they're killing off their kids. How many weddings are not going to take place because of the millions that have been aborted? Millions of weddings. There is going to be desolation. But I want to go into the next chapter and look at the next three verses, and we'll stop there. In chapter 8 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of the princes, and the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves." Now, they are going to bring them out. Now, this is talking about there is desolation in the previous verse. This is desecration. They're going to dig up graves. And the graves they're going to dig up are going to be the ones of everybody. Doesn't matter if it's a king, doesn't matter if it's a prophet or a priest, it doesn't matter if you're just a common person. They're going to dig up the graves and take out the bones. Now, why would they take the bones out of the graves? It's grave robbers. This is the Babylonians. They're going in to take whatever jewelry somebody's been buried with or some whatever valuables they can get. And here, the Word of God says their bones they're going to take out. And they're going to be strewed across the land. I was reading an interesting article. I thought it was kind of interesting anyway. They used bones for fertilizer as far as animal bones back in that day and time. Never heard that. I guess some of y'all may have heard that, but here it's not going to be animal bones, it's going to be human bones. That's going to be used for fertilizer. "And they shall spread them," these bones, they're going to spread them before the sun, the moon, and all the host of heaven whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. "They shall not be gathered nor buried, they shall be for dung upon the face of the earth." Fertilizer. For the face of the earth. Notice here, they're going to be scattered across, exposed. That's desecration. And the reason is because they worshipped the sun, the moon, and the stars. This whole passage is just full of condemnation and judgment. It's the valley of slaughter. "And death shall be chosen rather than life," in verse 3, "by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." In other words, those who did not die will wish they had died. They would choose rather to die than have life. It's so terrible. Now, you know what? Over there in Liberia, from my understanding, I heard one of the doctors give this kind of report. The Ebola is so much more widespread is because people die in the streets. The dogs consume them. They spread the disease. You can see how something can get massive, widespread. I saw where the president of Liberia asked for something like 7,000, 8,000 body bags. Whew. The valley of slaughter. Notice what the Word of God says. It calls it the valley of the sons of Hinnom. The word Hinnom is translated into the Greek word Gehenna. Now you know what Gehenna is, don't you? Gehenna is translated into English from the Greek as hell. And Jesus used that word consistently when he spoke about hell. He used the word Gehenna, which is in reference to the valley of the sons of Hinnom, where there was a continuing burning of the garbage and the refuse. But hear what he's talking about. Jesus was talking about relating that to eternal judgment. This is a place that warns people about a place to come. Talks about how death and hell, Gehenna, is cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a place where we know the Word of God says there is weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping for all eternity. Gnashing of teeth. There's wailing, moaning and groaning and yelling for mercy, crying out constantly. It's a place where the worm dies not, the fire is continual. It is a place where the goodness of God is absent, but God's wrath is very present. This is a reality that we need to be reminded of. Because, back to verse 29, God commanded them to cut off their hair and make a place of lamentation. Cry out, weep, mourn for your sins. You know what the reason we don't mourn over sins more than with what we do? It's because we don't see the holiness of God like as clearly as we should. When we see God as holy, and that man deserves God's wrath, because of the great sin which we've committed, that'll bring tears to your eyes and weeping for lost people. God nowhere in Scripture commands us to sacrifice children. The Word of God says to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. The greatest thing that you can do as far as your child is leading them in a life of obedience unto the Lord God. To serve Him and surrender a life. Not sacrifice as far as killing and offering up to God, but surrendering their life to the service of God, to glorify God all the days of their life. Boy, you know what? Nothing can be greater than serving the Lord all the days of your life. Yet, there is one display in God's Word that is the centerpiece of a father sacrificing his son. When God the Father sacrificed his son, he gave his only begotten son for the purpose that he might become sin for us. But I want you to notice here, God the Father did not force Jesus Christ to give His life. He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to raise it back up again. Jesus Christ laid down His life for our sins. That's a big difference in what's going on here in Jeremiah. And it's a big difference in what people are doing with abortion in our day and time. He gave His life that we can have life to the full, that we can have forgiveness of our sins, and that we can have eternal life. Listen to what it says. Turn over in Micah, and we'll close with this verse of Scripture. In Micah chapter 6, Micah chapter 6 and verse 7. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression?" Let me tell you 1,000 times no. "The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Should I sacrifice my child, my offspring, because I've sinned? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" God's calling us to a life of obedience. When we think about what was going on in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, the valley of Tophet, or what is called the valley of slaughter, that was going to be filled with bodies, we can see it happening in our day and time too, with abortion. We can see it happening in our day and time with a president who encourages abortion. I brought my little baby tonight. Y'all seen my little baby before. My little baby's about the size of my thumb. This little baby when you think about a baby that has been in the womb of a mother, it starts out as a life when conceived. It's fed through the umbilical cord. It's its lifeline. It's about 2 inches long. And look at that, it can fit in my little hand. Somebody had a baby, it was actually a cousin, second cousin, something like that, of Lydia just the other day. 5 pounds. You know, that 5-pound baby's like a sack of flour. You could hold it in one hand, get him wiggle and squiggle, you know, with it. A little tiny thing. But when it's this size right here, inside the mother's womb, the heart is beating. It's got brain waves. All the body systems are present. It's got fingerprints, and it's got thumbprints. This little baby could squint. It can swallow. It can retract its tongue. It makes a fist. It can suck its thumb. You'll see it in an ultrasound. It can suck its thumb. And you know what? When they kill that little infant inside the mother's womb, it feels pain. Where a nation has turned its back upon the innocent. May our nation repent of its wickedness. If you ever have a chance to witness to someone who believes in abortion, don't condemn them, but don't condone them. They need Christ. And you know what? If you go in with a condemning attitude, they're not going to hear the gospel. They're going to shut you off. We need to love people. You know what I heard? That the lady who first brought up Roe v. Wade, I forgot her name, she has since become a Christian. She won the right to kill her child. And how she became a Christian was through the influence of a godly Christian family. The protest might have had some influence, might not have had any influence. The main influence was she heard the gospel. That's what people need to hear for a life to be changed, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God give us a holy boldness in sharing the good news. The Lord knows our land needs it. Have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And though your word speaks of great condemnation, we know that you are giving warning for sins and the judgment that's to come. And Lord, we cry out and we ask for mercy. Mercy upon us as a nation. We as a nation have forsaken your way. There has been great bloodshed, innocent bloodshed, in the name of personal freedom. Lord, we ask that you use us as a witness of your goodness, which can only be found in Christ Jesus. May you help us to be bold, without fear or favor, speaking your word to a lost and dying world. For Christ's sake, amen.